Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And this is one of the most glorious passages in the Bible. I say that about nearly all the passages, I guess. But in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28, it's on the screen if you want to read it there and see it, or in your Bibles we'll read. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. Those He called, He also sanctified. Those He sanctified, justified, and those He glorified. And then notice this. And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifies? Who is he that condemns? Shall Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword being killed, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then verse 37, nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Another word there is overcomers. We are conquerors, we're overcomers. A modern day word would be we're winners. So you could insert the word overcomer, or conqueror, or winner in that place. And we know about the word winning. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you, we ought to rejoice in that, because that tells us who we are in Christ. And because He is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. It doesn't matter who condemns us or calls us all those terrible names that they call Christians these days. And they have always done that. We know that we are more than conquerors. And in verse 37, where he says we are more than conquerors, it means we are super conquerors. Now, you may not feel it very much this morning, and some of us look like we're sort of tired, and I sort of feel tired myself. I've been trying to wake up during the song service so I could get ready to preach for some reason today. And so it may be that you need to understand who you are. No matter how you feel about it, you need to claim the truth about who you are. And that's what the great theme of overcomer is. You are, it's not you ought to be or hope you are, but you are an overcomer in Christ. And you need not to be embarrassed to say that. When I'm down and out and I don't feel good, and I'm sort of depressed and so forth, it's hard for me to even bring it out and say, I'm an overcomer. But I have a hard time sometimes in using any of these terms. I'm elect of God. I'm His chosen one. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a child of the King. I am one of His, and He is mine. But you see, when I'm down and out and depressed and worried about things in this world and in my life, and we all go through these times, we need to understand who we are in Christ. And that's the whole basis of my thoughts this morning. You, if you are saved, I'll tell you, I almost could have Gay give a testimony this morning, couldn't I? She did in Sunday school class. One of her relatives got saved, right? Just when? 2 days ago. And he thought he was saved, and he was baptized in this church, but he came to realize recently that he was lost and on his way to hell, even though he'd been baptized, even though everybody thought he was saved. Everybody thought, well, I know he is, but he's not. And so she said he made that profession of faith, and he was in Sunday school and church this morning. You see, there are a lot of people like that in this world. A lot of people like that. Maybe some of you, and you've had these experiences in the past, but in your mind and in your heart, there is that gnawing feeling that I'm just lost. I'm not a child of God. I just don't even meet any of the requirements of a child of God. I look at the Bible and I feel I'm lost. And so I always think, as I preach on Sunday morning, there may be folks sitting in the pew like that young man was. People thinking he was saved, but he was lost, as my mother used to say, as lost as a goose. And I guess that's what he was. But praise God. Praise God. Now he's been saved. Now he's come to know Christ fully as his Savior and his Lord. And hopefully today he can say, I am an overcomer in Christ. You see, we become overcomers at the point of our salvation. And from then on, we can say of ourselves, we are overcomers. I was saved when I was 12. Nobody told me at that time to call myself overcomer. But I could have, because that's when it started. The moment I came to Christ, the moment I was born again, I became an overcomer. And I've been an overcomer through all the years of my life. And those times when I felt like I wasn't, I was an overcomer in Christ. From the point of our salvation, from then on, we have been conquerors. We have conquered the devil. We have overcome Satan. In Revelation 12, in verse 11, there's a wonderful verse, and you know this verse, but I want you to see it. Let's read it together. It's on the screen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, that's talking about those saints in the tribulation, but it applies to me, and it applies to you. I have overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and that I love not my life unto death. So at the point of your salvation, the day you were saved, when you were saved, you became an overcomer in Christ. Secondly, you have not only overcome the devil, but you have overcome death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's this wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. The next verse. Well, yes, and we have been false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Those which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That is, if there's no resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Look at verse 57 in that, Adam, as you're going through that passage. Verse 57 is the one I was thinking about. There it is. Read it together with me. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, we're overcomers. We overcome the devil. We overcome death through the resurrection of Christ. And we overcome the world. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And this is a very, very essential passage in 1 John about overcomers. 1 John chapter 5. We began Wednesday night doing a study of 1 John. We started with verses 1 through 5 of chapter 1. And we're going to do that every Wednesday night until we go through the book of 1 John. But chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begot, loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now notice verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We sang about that. Who is he that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So today, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if by faith you have received him into your life as your Savior, you can call yourself an overcomer. And that's what we need to write all over our bodies, I guess. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. I want us in these few moments to look at seven principles of being an overcomer. And this may help some of us today. Because some of you may feel, well, I guess I am an overcomer, but I don't feel like it. And I wish I felt like it all the time. In my classroom at school. In my home with my family around me. On my job, at my work, you know, all the things that you go through. But you need to understand and you need to call yourself an overcomer. There's several principles of being an overcomer. Number one, you must have confidence that God will bring you the victory. If you doubt and keep thinking, I am really not a conqueror, I am not what I ought to be. If you keep thinking that way, that's the way you're going to be. Believe that you have confidence that God will bring you to victory. There's a story in the Old Testament, and I heard David Jeremiah preach on this. Matter of fact, he has a series on overcomers. And some of you all listen to him on the television or radio and hear David Jeremiah. And he's been doing a series. He wrote a book on the overcomer. As a matter of fact, recently there's been book after book on the market about being an overcomer. For some reason, that's the big issue that Christians are thinking about today, being overcomers in Christ. But one of the illustrations that David Jeremiah used was David and Goliath. And you can't find a better illustration of one who is depending upon God as David and as he slayed Goliath. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, is where the story is found. And you remember Goliath, he was, how tall was that sucker? 9 feet tall. That's a big, big guy. And he was the champion of the Philistines. And they had the Israelites scared to death because of Goliath and the Philistine armies. And so Goliath was challenging the Israelites. They were God's people. You remember that? And so finally, little David comes up. He's a young boy. And he comes up and he says, let me at him. And that's exactly what took place. You remember that David heard what they were saying about Goliath and about how they couldn't win the battle. And David finally said to all of them, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. And Saul, who was the king at that time, said, David, go and the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze upon his head, put about himself a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor. and he attempted to go forth, for he had not tested it. And finally David said to the king, Saul, he said, I can't wear this stuff. I haven't tried it out. I know that I am God's child and I have great power with the Lord. I'm an overcomer, but I can't use this stuff that you've given me. So he pulled off the armor, got rid of the sword and all of that kind of stuff. So it says in verse 40, he took a staff in his hand. He chose five small stones out of the brook. He put them in his shepherd's bag. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistines, that little boy did. And the Philistines came out and they looked about and they saw David. And Goliath disdained him. He was a youth. He was ruddy and of a fair complexion. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog? Am I a dog that you come up to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air, the buzzards, and to the beasts of the field. They'll eat you up. Then David said to the Philistine, You come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, hallelujah, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, David said, the Lord will deliver me into the hand, into your hand, and I will smite you, and I'll take your head off of you, and I'll give your carcasses to the Philistines this day, to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. David knew that. Do you know that? Do I believe that? We are in a warfare in the spiritual world, but God does not use our swords and our guns and our spears in that battle. We are fighting a spiritual battle. We need to understand that. He said to them, God does not save with a sword and with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he's going to give it into our hands. And so you know the rest of the story. David put his hand in his bag, took the stone out, slung it around, and the stone went right into the forehead of Goliath, and he fell upon his face. David didn't have a sword, so he went and took Goliath's sword and came over there and cut Goliath's head off. Man, what a bloody thing that was. He cut his head off and he held the head up. And all the people began to shout that God is great. God is great. And I'm sure they would have sung that chorus we sang a while ago. How great is our God? Sing it with him. How great. And that's what they were singing. And David holding that head up of Goliath, that enemy of God's people, the enemy of God. But he was a classic example, wasn't he, of an overcomer, one who believed that God could do all things and that he, as God's servant, could also do all things through Christ who strengthens him. The Apostle Paul said that as well in Philippians. So first of all, we need to have confidence that God will bring us to victory. Second, we must know that no weapon of the enemy will come against us and it will not prosper. We need to understand that. As Paul said, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Number three, you need to renew your minds. You know, this is a mind thing. It really is a sort of a mind game, isn't it, in our lives? It is with me. It is with you. It is with you in your home, on your job, in your school, wherever you may be, whatever you are doing. And as a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 12, this is what Paul says. Romans 12, begin at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to have our minds renewed. And for many of us, what we're doing and what we're putting into our minds is what we hear on television. I call some people all the time and I say, what are you doing? Well, I'm watching Fox. I'm watching Fox. I'm listening to that day and night. Then I talk to someone else and I call them and they say, well, I'm listening to CNN and NSBC and to all that news. Somebody says, I'm listening to this and I'm listening to that. I'm watching this. I've got my cell phone and I'm looking at all of these things. And it's going into my mind. And there's so many things against us these days. Isn't that true? I know you're afraid for yourself and you're afraid for your children. You're afraid for your grandchildren. What they see and they hear, it's filling up their minds. And many of them are saved. They're children of God. They are overcomers. In Christ, they have already overcome the devil. They have already overcome death. They have already overcome Satan, and they're overcomers in Christ, but they're being fed this information that is not good for a mind to be filled with. We need to renew our minds, and we do that through a study of God's Word. Number four, we have an inner resource as a believer in Christ. The inner resource that I have, what is it? What is that inner resource you have? The Holy Spirit, that's right. He is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. It's not a force. It's a person. We talk about the person of Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. So we have the Holy Spirit. The moment that we are saved, the Spirit comes into our life. And we are victorious. We are overcomers because of who is within us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, we need to remember that when we're down and out, when things are not going our way, when it seems everything is against us, when it seems like we will always be a failure. We need to remember that kind of thinking is of the devil. Oh, Zig Ziglar, years and years ago, he'd tell that all over the country. You know, Ross Perot recently died, and he was such a fan of Zig Ziglar. And oh, Zig Ziglar, that motivational speaker from Dallas, he would say, that stinking thinking, that was one of his phrases. And there's a lot of stinking thinking going on in the world today, all around us. We have more stinking thinking, I guess, than we've ever had before. Because we have more ways of hearing and seeing and learning things that are not good for us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who intercedes for us, who gives us strength and who gives us grace. The Holy Spirit gives us knowledge and will never withhold knowledge from us. 1 Corinthians 1:7. And the Holy Spirit will cause us to profit. The gifts of the Spirit causes us to profit. We are overcomers. Number five, we need to have confidence that we are overcomers, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Number six, we need to remember that we have the victory in Christ. It's easy to stand up here and sing Victory in Jesus, and that's a favorite song. And some of us are, we don't have any victory. We feel. The truth is, though, as believers, as those born of the Spirit of God, we do have the victory. Christ has given us the victory. It sure does help to feel it. Even when we don't feel it, we do. We are overcomers in Christ. And seven, remember what we're going to receive as overcomers. There's a passage in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. A beautiful Revelation 3:5. Look at it. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We are overcomers. We shall overcome. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. I realize sometimes we don't feel like that we are, but we are. And the devil wants us defeated, doesn't he? Doesn't he want you to be defeated? He certainly wants me to be defeated. And he'll do everything in his power. Now, he is a defeated foe. We realize that. At the cross, Christ won the victory over Satan. But we also know he is powerful in our lives. We need to give ourselves fully to Christ. We are overcomers. And it's not that we shall overcome, but we shall. But we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, the whole truth is Christ Jesus overcame. Therefore, when he is within us, we then become overcomers because of him. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that we are overcomers. Help us, our Father, to believe that. Help us to study the Word and renew our minds to the point that we accept that as fact. And that no matter what the world may say to us, or the devil may say to us, or our flesh may say to us, we can come back with telling the truth. We are overcomers through Christ. Father, I pray that if there are those of us here this morning who need to make decisions for you, maybe someone today is lost and has realized that and they're ready to be saved. Oh God, help them to make that decision today. Others are here wanting to join the church. They've been saved and baptized maybe, and they want to join the church, and I pray that you would lead them to do that. There are others, our Father, who need to recommit their lives, maybe as an individual or a family. I pray that in the decision time, they would come. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.